Welcome to Butterflies of Wisdom, everyone. This afternoon, I have Andy with me. So I'm going, Andy, take it away.
Hey, Wynn, thanks so much for having me back. It's been about 6 months since I was on with you last time.
Oh, my God. Second time guest. Here we go again. So, Andy,
yeah.
What do you do and what's your update to what you do, I should say?
Yeah, well, okay, so I am a writer, and last time we were talking about how I was writing stories using different disabilities in fantasy fiction, sort of using them as a way to both develop characters, give them something unique, and showcase how disabilities can be more than just sort of as they're usually typically used in fantasy as sort of a flaw or a weakness, but they can actually be the thing that enables the characters to succeed in a way that the normally abled aren't able to. And so I finally published the collection of short stories in October, so I'm very excited about that.
Well, congratulations. Congratulations. I know we were talking about the physical writing process. Now, do you think we can use disabilities as our magical powers?
Oh, absolutely. I love it. I published a short story in a collection of urban fantasy novels where the main characters is autistic. And autistic people, they have good pattern recognition. They can easily find patterns,
yes,
or that's what they focus,
yes,
on.
Yes.
And so this character, he has sort of magical abilities, but they're based on his autism. So he has the ability to recognize patterns. Like, he's 11 years old and he's never seen a city map, but he draws the city map because of the routes he and his sister have taken to work every day. Or he learns a new language by deciphering the patterns of the symbols that are used for the letters, and just sort of using the autism and enhancing it as his magical ability, so to speak.
How cool is that? So you're taking our challenges and turning them into gifts.
Exactly. Exactly. In a way that's, you know, like a lot of fantasy uses the big strong hero or the competent swordsman, or, you know, the character who's typically more able than others. And I try to do something,
yeah,
the reverse, where something that would normally be considered a deficiency or a weakness is actually the thing that enables them to succeed. As an example, in the first of my Queen of Thieves novel, the only reason that the character succeeds in pulling off the theft that she does is because she is smaller than everyone else. And it's just like using that little thing as the thing that makes her succeed where everyone else would fail.
Now, what is your favorite disability you have worked with?
That is a good question. It's a tough one. They're all very interesting. I enjoyed sensory processing disorder because it could be used in so many different ways. Sensory processing disorder is where the brain interprets signals to the eyes, the ears, the nose, interprets them differently. So when they see something, for example, a light source, is very hard on their eyes because their brain processes the light differently than neurotypical people. So using that disability, I created this character who's an artist, and he paints with all black. But because of his sensory processing disorder, his brain translates the signals, the colors, as an image.
How cool is that? So sensory processing disorder is one of your favorites?
Yes.
Now, have you ever thought about including a character who has cerebral palsy? No, you're not getting into that.
I would. I might have already without knowing it. It's just I sort of have to do a lot of research on these different disabilities, and cerebral palsy is one that I have never gotten around to researching. I sort of do it as the idea strikes me.
Well, there's an idea that you may have to incorporate research, and you have me as your guinea pig here, so that idea, because see, a lot of people, and just to let my fans know, the reason why I was late to Andy's interview is because now I'm working with a publisher on my next autobiography focused on scoliosis, because what I'm coming to realize is, even though you guys love CP for some weird reason, scoliosis is one of those common disabilities. CP is not. I got scoliosis after I got CP. I got scoliosis when I was 17 years old. And so I'm coming to find out that CP is more, scoliosis is more common than CP, even though they equal out. So I'm really excited about that, writing a book simply on scoliosis and eliminating the CP for the first time ever.
That's awesome.
In my books. And so you're eliminating disabilities, but you're not. You're turning them into superpowers.
Yeah. Or sort of as, not as the superpower, because it doesn't, at the end of the day, they still have the disability. They're not super. It's just what makes them special. It's that thing that makes them not better, but it makes them, enables them to succeed where everyone else has failed in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you have a disability yourself, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I have Asperger's syndrome.
Asperger's is a high-functioning version of autism.
Correct.
For those of you guys who haven't heard of Asperger's, you guys have heard of autism, but Asperger's, like cerebral palsy, like the high-functioning cerebral palsy, doesn't get its light shine on it as much as it should. I mean, autism gets lumped in to every single autism spectrum under the sun, and then Asperger's gets lumped into the bottom of the heap. I'm sorry, but it does, and cerebral palsy gets lumped in to physical disabilities, and of course, people with high functioning to moderate to high functioning cerebral palsy, like I have, we get stuck at the bottom of the heap. So, Andy, that means that what would you like to say to my able-bodied fans, or my disabled fans, for that matter, about Asperger's? What is the one myth that you would like to demyth on this podcast?
I think I'm really happy, actually, that autism has been getting a lot more attention in the media in the last few, I'm going to say the last couple of years. There are a number of shows that deal with autism and Asperger's, and I'm really happy about that because it does make it a lot less sort of stigmatized. And that's one of the reasons that I've begun including these things in my writing, is that I want them to be something that people talk about. As soon as it becomes normal or it becomes commonplace for people to talk about these disorders, they stop being something that people are ashamed of or that they need to hide. And that, for me, is the most important, is that we can just have a conversation about these things, bring them to light, say, yeah, you know, I have this or I have that, and it's just part of what makes me who I am. Because when we can do that, then it tells the other people, maybe a younger audience or younger people who aren't so comfortable with themselves or the way they are, and they think, oh, I have this thing about myself that makes me different, and it's something I should hide or something I should be ashamed of. And that's what I want to take that away, is I want people to be comfortable talking about you know, who they are, the things that make them different, the things really that make them special.
So you want to talk about the gifts, not the challenges, and that's
exactly. But
why
the challenges too.
Yeah, let's face it. We all have challenges. Let's face it. We're all not perfect.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But those challenges, in so many ways, those challenges are what make us, like you say, it's our superpower. You know, it makes us stronger than a neurotypical person, or it gives us something, an insight into the human condition that maybe they don't have. As an example, part of autism is not being able to understand social cues. When someone makes, their emotions are very nonverbal. So nonverbal communication is difficult for a lot of people with Asperger's and autism. And so as someone with that, I've spent a lot of time researching sort of the nitty gritty of human emotions and personalities and things like that. And so when it comes time to write them, I feel like, well, okay, so now I know how to do this. And it comes through in making the character so much more believable, so much richer, in my opinion, of course.
In your opinion. Now, do you write full-time, or do you have a day job?
I have a day job still, yes. I do blogging and copywriting.
Ah, you do blogging and copywriting at your day job?
Yes.
So, okay. So, I have a question for you then. How do you turn the, quote, day job brain off to write fantasy?
Well, it's definitely a process. I will usually go to the gym, or I'll take a walk. Like, I need to do something to make that switch, because it is really difficult to go from, you know, this pure informational content, you know, where you want to teach people what to do, how to solve whatever problem, to telling a story. So, you know, I'll watch a short 20-minute TV show, a sitcom or something, because that will definitely get me away from thinking, or I will read some of a book, or have lunch, take a nap, just do something short that gets me away from the computer and changes my, sort of like resets my brain, and then I can sit down and write fresh.
Okay, so that's how you do it. I always wanted to ask a copywriter how they did it, and that's how you avoid writer's block too, is you step away from whatever you're doing, whether it's copywriting or whether it's writing fantasy or whether it's writing fiction novels, like in my case, you step away and then get a fresh perspective. And stepping away doesn't mean you have to step away for 2 hours. No, 10 minutes. You can go for a walk, and I'll go watch TV, then sit down again and write.
Yeah, something simple and easy, yeah. Just something to take a break is all you need.
Exactly. And so what has been in this side hustle, what has been your favorite moment in all this?
It's just so awesome to, as a writer, to talk with people who find something of value in your story. You know, the whole point of copywriting and blogging is to impart something, to send a message, and that's really what stories are about too, in so many ways. You know, you're trying to tell people something, you're trying to give them a little piece of yourself, a piece of your mind, the way you think, your view on the world. And so when readers connect with your story and they say, oh, I loved this part, or I loved the way that you showcased the challenge, or this character had the thing, you know, I identified with them so much because I was going through this. That for me is the most gratifying part of being a writer, is being able to connect with people and give them that bit of myself through my stories. Even though they're, you know, they look like a great fantasy story on the outside, when it comes down to it, they're a part of who I am.
Yeah. And so, any tips on being a disabled author and doing it appropriately for the able-bodied author or for the new author who is disabled?
A lot of research. Before I start writing any book, I definitely do a lot of research into sort of the psychology of the character, whether it's a differently abled person or a typically abled person, just understanding the things that make them tick. I talk to a lot of people when writing these stories. You know, I go to people who have these disorders or these disabilities and say, okay, so what's it like? How would you react in this situation? How do you feel? What does this challenge, how does it affect you? How does it make you feel good? But, like, getting the information, not just what's available on you know, on WebMD or from the basic blog articles that you can find on these topics, but really talking to people directly, asking them the specific questions about the story. That really helps me to get into the headspace so that when I sit down to write, it just flows more easily.
So you, I thought you were going to say editing or something like that. Nope, you sort of ball at me and the research. Oh, God. Research. I hate to research. I would go say editing, but I hate research. I'm going to have to do research for my next book, and I get to realize that, and I hate research. But that's the life of a copywriter and the life of a freelance journalist. Yeah.
Yep.
Research. I thought you were going to say, as I said, I thought you were going to say editing, and nope. You sort of taught me research. And so do you hope your books will do well enough that you can quit your day job? Or are you happy and slam at your day job?
Oh, I would definitely love to quit my day job and focus on writing full-time. And I plan to do that in the near future. Yeah. I'm working on the platform and all of that to make it work. And I hope it does happen in the next couple of years.
Yeah, good. Because I was going to say, having a disability and having a day job is not easy.
No, it's not.
It's not easy because I have a day job, even though it's one day a week, and I teach. But I hope that one day my books will do well enough that I can say bye-bye to the day job and write full-time, because that's my ultimate dream.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, okay, if you had to be educated by anyone inside or outside your field, who would it be and why?
If I had to be entertained?
Educated.
Educated. Ooh, that's a good question. I think I would love to sit down with one of my favorite fantasy writers and just sort of pick their brain and see what goes on inside their head. Like some of these books, I read them and I think, okay, I'm just going to stop writing now because I'm never going to be this good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's face it.
Some of them are just so amazing. So I'd love to sit down and just say, okay, now when you do this, what are you thinking? How does it work? And just get all of their information and then use that to write awesome books.
Yeah. Steal from the best. I would say that. And now my last question, and then we can go into where can people find you, and you can ask me a couple questions. Who is your favorite fantasy author?
I really, really respect Brandon Sanderson. He's one of the better known fantasy authors. His work ethic and everything that he puts into developing his books is amazing. When it comes to characters, Scott Lynch, he's not as well known, but his characters are just so amazing. I love his books.
And so, Andy, where can people find you? And how can people get a hold of you? I presume your books are all self-published on Amazon.
They are correct, on Amazon. My website is my name, andypeliquin.com, and I'm on Facebook and Twitter and all social media as Andy Peliquin.
So that's where you can find Andy. And please, please, if you had to pick one of your favorite books that you have written, which one would it be? And which one would you like the most sales of for December?
Well, this new short story collection, Different Not Damaged, is the one that deals with these disabilities in the fantasy world, and I would love it if people would read it and sort of get an understanding of what it means to live with these different disorders and how they can be, they can be what make you special. They make us different, but not damaged. That's the concept behind the title and the series.
Exactly. Different, but not damaged. I love it. So please, 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 please go to Amazon, and I know you can do it on your mobile phone, and please, please, please go to Amazon and pick up Andy's short stories and support Andy during the holiday season, because all these independent authors, including myself, we need to make money off of books to quit the day job. And we
That's
need
right.
to sell these books like there's no tomorrow. So please, everyone, go support Andy's books, and please leave a review for any independent published author you see fit, because that's the only way it helps other people find these books, is if you leave a review on Amazon. And so, Andy, what are your questions for me?
Okay, well, as part of my research into cerebral palsy, what is the greatest challenge that you have faced in your life?
My bad back. My bad back. And that's why I'm writing a book about my bad back, because I think a lot of people, as I said, a lot of people have spinal fusions, and a lot of people have scoliosis, and I just want to beat this nemesis down and share my knowledge about scoliosis to the best of my abilities. My bad back has been the nemesis since 2006.
Wow. And, well, as I like to do in my stories, how is this also your superpower? Like, what is it about this that makes you able to succeed in certain things where no one else can?
My superpower is that I can't bend over backwards, which is a good thing. Someone caught me once. I used to use the expression, bend over backwards. They go, Winnie, you can't use that expression either, bend over backwards, because you can't bend over backwards. And so my superpower is being ramrod straight, and that's a good thing. And so my superpower is actually being ramrod straight, and because of my bad back, and I have gotten into writing more and more, so I guess my bad back is my superpower, because I get to share my stories with the world, and I get to interview people like you.
That is a very cool superpower to have.
Yeah. Yeah. So standing ramrod straight is a very cool superpower to have. And, yeah, my dad, I've decided as of today, my bad back is my superpower. Now that I'm writing a complete book about it, I've decided that my bad back is my superpower, because I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing without my spinal fusion. There's no way I would. My spinal fusion was the first chop and smell of roses moment in my life, and then my almost second spinal fusion was really chop and smell of roses moment in my life. Thank God I didn't have to have a second spinal fusion, but I am really thankful that my superpower is my bad back, because now I get to share stories and interview people like you about superpowers, and damage not different is a perfect subtitle for this episode. Actually, I will be putting your name with it, but I think we should all look at disability as damage not different, because
different not damage.
The mental different not damage, because we have the mental capabilities like the rest of us. People just have to see that.
That's right.
That's right. And I appreciate you guys listening to Andy's story. And please go track Andy down on Amazon. And please go track me down on Amazon. And I'll be keeping you updated on this book about scoliosis. I have until January 8th to get the first draft to my publisher, and then we're going to talk and see what this book can come about. And so I'm super excited. So let's end 2017 strong and keep 2018 even stronger. And thanks to you guys for the support of the podcast. And please go, as I said, support all independent published authors, disabled or not. And let's just make 2017 or the end of 2017 as strong as we can. Thanks to you guys.